If you die, and we don't say that if you die in these sins you're going to go to the hellfire, you're under the will of Allah. If you die before you repent from these major sins or great sins, you're under the will of Allah. If He wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, He'll forgive you. If He wishes to punish you on these sins, sending you to the hellfire for a time, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. But if you die, before you die, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repentance from these major sins, Allah inshaAllah will forgive you, will remove and erase these sins. And not that only, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them with good deeds, will replace your sins. Sins is changing into hasanat, to good deeds, rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the repentance? Very simple. You don't do anything actually when you repent. First thing, you quit doing the sin. You don't do nothing. You're just sitting. I said, I intend not to do it in the future. Quit doing the sin. The second thing is to feel bad and feel sorry for what you've done before. So, you didn't do anything at all. You're just sitting over here saying, oh, you Allah, I feel sorry for my sins that I've done in your heart. And then you say, Allah, I quit these sins. I'll never do it in the future. Great intention not to do it in the future. Even if you fall in the sin later, but not to play games with Allah, to start with, oh, I'm going to do now, but I knew that I'm going to get back to the sin. No. You have a great intention, israr wa azm, not to come back to that sin. Even if you commit that sin later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that for you, if you ask Him for forgiveness. So the great sins, you can die in a great sin. That's why you need to be familiar. You need to know what is the great sin, what parts of the what have done, and I need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to renew that repentance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not losing, as we said, what is the repentance? You're not going to get, you know, $10,000 or sit all night long memorizing the half of the Quran to do the repentance. No, just feel sorry for what happened, quit doing, intend in the future not to do it again. You didn't do nothing, just sitting, doing things in your heart, just work of the heart. So this is a great sense. We're going to move to harmful, destructive. When you say destructive, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is enumerating this destructive sins. Destructive, they destroy your deeds. Nothing is gonna be with them. Very dangerous, very infectious. You know, small sins, if you persist in doing those, but at least small sins, you know, minor sins, laghu, or you know, something that comes not out of your control, this and that, this will be erased, you know, with your salah, with your, you know, donations, with your this and that. But the other, those are destructive ones, brothers. They destroy your deeds. Nothing is going to be with them. Nothing is accepted beside them. Those are there, you know that. So, Rasulullah SAW, subhanAllah, He never left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing for us to give us a knowledge and information about it. So, we're walking or worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path. Not everyone has his own imagination about sins. No. قال الله subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said in the Quran al-Kareem, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, the companions understand it this way. This is the roots of our Islam. This way, nobody's gonna come like Christianity, Paul, and he said, I had a dream, and then this dream become a religion. They put his dream in the book, and he saw in the dream that Allah freed him to eat pork. And at the same time, the book itself, Jesus, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, said not to eat. But everyone just come from the scholars later in Islam and just have a dream or fabricate something. No. Our sources is very clear. Nothing with Allah. Whoever thinks that Allah, whoever thinks that Islam is not complete, then he's accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of lying. Allah, you're accusing Allah of lying, and you're accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not transmitting the message the right way. What a great sin above that, to accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of lying. Al-yawmu atmamtu lakum dinakum. وأكملت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your faith and I agreed when Islam is your faith, is your religion. Itmam, it's complete. The religion, nobody could be better than the companions of Rasulullah, especially Abu Bakr. Nobody will reach if they weigh the deen, the faith of Abu Bakr and the whole ummah. They will, so don't think that you're going to bring something Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ardah did not know it or did not do it. So Islam is very clear. Then Rasul, listen to the sunnah, the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the destructive sins, the seven destructive sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, teaching the companions and all of the believers after them. He said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. Run away. Keep away from the seven destructive sins. Then they ask Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what are those, you Rasulullah? The companions, the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم start saying, what is those seven destructive sins? The first one is الشرك بالله, associating anyone or anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, this is it. If you do everything and you associate somebody with Allah or something with Allah, or if everything is gone, every, if you fill the whole earth of good deeds and you come in the hereafter in the judgment day with association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is accepted. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Whoever associate, this is the Quran, this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make impossible for him to enter paradise. Impossible. You see, subhanallah, in this part especially, there is no exceptions. You see, Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu, this is his blood uncle, ya akhwani. And this is the one, subhanallah, that defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and defend the da'wah at the time of the weakness and support and love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he used to love his own children, and fight in the cause of Muhammad, in the love of Muhammad. But love doesn't come from the faith. No, love from the Ashira and Jama'ah. To tell you, this is if it's in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a different story. But he used to say beauty, threatening the kuffar of Mecca, whoever touch Muhammad, they will never ever, you know, let him free or let him go. But look, because he never, Rasulullah ﷺ is begging him, just say the word. Say the word, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, before he died. He didn't do anything. But say the word that I will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. Ya akhwani, this word is a secret. This is the differentiator between, in the day of judgment, this La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah will divide humans into two categories. Categories of the hellfire and categories of paradise. Even the Muslims, or the ones of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, committed sins, they are under the will of Allah. Allah may forgive, Allah may punish, but their final destination is paradise. So this is this word will fill the heavens and the earth. The magnitude of that word, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to say it. Refused to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad. Associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they knew Allah. The people of Mecca knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they used to say, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abdullah. They knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they used to associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Refused to follow the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no exceptions. Even Rasulullah bad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah let Abu Talib get free from the hell. No, he's in hell, but he's the least one punished because of the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of them is against Rasulullah because he's no. Because no one in Mecca, Ikhwani, at that time, of the disbelievers, Abu Lahab, he's the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look, the position of Abu Lahab was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the position of Abu Talib. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged Allah. Because nobody from the disbelievers support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and support the da'wah in the time of weakness like Abu Talib. But Abu Talib ran away from him, no. Laws, Allah put laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever associated with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will, impossible for him to enter paradise. وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ. His final destination is the hellfire. No exception. لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. So look, Allah is talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, telling you, Muhammad, it has been revealed to you and to those before you, the messengers and the prophets before you, if you associate with Allah, all of your deeds are going to be destroyed. Nothing is accepted. No, whatever you do, if you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're gone. That's it. You're destroyed. So this is the clear evidence from the Quran al-Kareem about associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this story. It's not just associating is to bring an idol like the Arabs used to bring the idol and worship. No. If you agree in any ideology as a way of life for you, you associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we got that from? Look at Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu arda. Adi, he used to be the leader of the tribe of Tay. Very famous man in the Arab world. Adi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he declared his Islam. And he prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited from the Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. They took their priests and priestesses as God beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والمسيح and Jesus the son of Mary, or the Messiah the son of Mary. How they took, and then once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the salah, then Sayyidina Adi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you Rasulullah, we did not take our priests or preachers gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is his end? Then Rasulullah explained to him, you see, أَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَلَالِ. They do not make something halal for you haram and make something haram for you halal. He said yes. فقال نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ذَلِكَ عِبَادَتُكُمْ إِيَّاهُمْ. Because the only one that says it's haram and it's halal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you agree on anybody else, somebody comes to you, the French law or the whatever kind of law, and said if a man and woman, you know, get together with the agreement, it's not adultery, it's not nothing, this is the law, doesn't punish for it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said if a man and woman get, you know, that marriage, this is called adultery, and there is punishment in Islam for adultery. And when you agree with the other one and you relax and you feel comfortable with, and you just happy with that, and just rejecting the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you associating somebody with Allah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Adi, he said, you Adi, they make the haram halal for you, and they make the halal haram for you. He said, yes, yeah, they do that. The priests and preachers, you go to them, right nowadays, they cannot talk in the church about, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends or this and that, because this will make everybody upset, because everybody's doing that. Or, you know, the adultery is they just keep away from it. Homosexuality, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Why? Because they make us angry, you know, so they make this halal for them to do it, so they take them as gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a way of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You associate anything or anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he's the only one. If you supplicate, if you do dua for somebody, or you ask somebody beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, this is the absolute shirk, this is out of Islam, out of faith. You come to qabr, or you come to Sheikh, or you come to Rajul, or anybody, and you ask him to help you, or to harm you, or to benefit you, or you believe that that green tree, and you put it in your house, it will keep the devils away, or you believe that when you put that, what is the kharaz zarqa, the blue bear, the blue pear, you bought it in your car, then it will keep the evil eyes away from you. You are sharing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one that benefit, He's the one that harm. Nothing will happen in that universe but by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you be careful. You need to, brothers, go and read about this important subject, to know and to learn about it. This is very destructive. You could pray, you could do hajj, you could do everything, and then you associate without knowing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destruction of your deeds, complete destruction of your deeds. So this is the first one. The second one is as-sihr, magic. Sihr equal in Islam kufr, disbelief in Allah. Whoever learn sihr, whoever teach sihr, whoever used to, get the effects of sihr away, all of this, the scholar said, this is shirk, this is kufr, this is disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we got that from? From the Quran al-Kareem. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرَ. Allah is talking about the children of Israel, that they left the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind their back, and they followed what the devils been revealed. The devils, when the kingdom of Solomon, the devils start saying and deciding lies. They said that Solomon alayhi salam used to control and use magic. Hashahu Allah subhashahu yani alayhi salam mimma yaqulun. He used to use the magic, and they start teaching people the magic that Solomon used to control his kingdom through. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى سُلَيْمَانَ. They followed what the devils, Satans, has been recited in the kingdom of Solomon. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Allah is freeing Sulaiman from this belief, because that means that Sulaiman is not using sihr. That means Sulaiman is not a kafir. Because as we said, the word sihr means kufr, means disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah doesn't repeat it and said, وَمَا اسْتَعْمَلَ السِّحْرَ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. He said, no, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ, because you understood the sihr means kufr, وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Sulaiman is not a disbeliever. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But the Satans, the devils, are disbelievers. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They teach humans magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And what being descended on the angels, Harut and Marut, those are two angels in Babel, the Babylon, Baghdad nowadays. You know? And those were a conflict. And before they teach anybody magic, they tell them, we are a conflict. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً. They do not teach anybody until they tell them that we are a conflict, we are a trial, you know, we're a fitna. فَيَتَعَلَّمَانِ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعَهُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لِمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And they learn what they harm themselves with, and what they do not benefit from. And they knew whoever followed that path of magic, he doesn't have nothing in the hereafter. In the Ya'ti, Yawm al-Qiyamah, nothing at all. Nothing. Kufr, ya akhwan. Absolute kufr. Is learning and teaching and using the... How we protect ourselves from sihr then? You remember the story of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu arda, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you Abu Huraira, guard this date and this harvest of zakah. And he went, you know, all night long guarding it. There is a man... An old man came and he starts to take from the dates and put in his, you know, the sleeve of his clothes and fill it with dates. Then hope Abu Huraira got him. He said, oh, I have some children and my wife, and I have a lot of children. I'm very angry, very poor, and this. He said, okay, let me go and I'll never come back again. I promise you. Then he let him go. And then the second day, then he went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, وَمَاذَا فَعَلَ أَسِيرُكَ الْبَارِحَةَ يَا أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ What is your prisoner has done last night, you Abu Huraira? He said, you Rasulullah promised me not to come again. He said, صَدَاقُ إِنَّهُ كَذُوب He will come tonight. He will come that night. And the next night he came and done the same thing. Said, Abu Huraira, let him go. And she said the same stuff to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then finally, when he caught him the third time, he said, just let me go and I will teach you some ayah from the Quran. It will protect you from the devils. He said, what is it? He said, Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illahu. If you say that at night, the devils will never touch you until the daytime. If you say it in the daytime, they'll never touch you till the night time. So this is ayah, this is Quran, has no control in you. The mu'awwidhatan, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Protection, shields against hasad, against the devils, against a lot of harm of the unseen world, the stuff that we don't see from the jinn. Protection from that. You don't look for magicians to learn how to protect yourself. We have our Quran. You see, Rasulullah said, if you said, you enter the bathroom with your left foot, and you said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُبْثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ I seek protection by Allah from the male and females of the devils. Then, if you take your clothes off, Allah will make a shield between you and them. They can't see you. They can't even see you. They don't have no control in you. You eat, you say Bismillah. They can't touch the food. You enter your house, you said Assalamu, you do Salam upon you and your family. No spending that night. They get out. So there is our Islam and our Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the protection and shields against the devils, against the sihr, against all of the unseen powers around us, the jinn, all of the devils, the magicians, all of that is a protection and chill. So the second one is sihr. The third one is qatlu nafs, killing. See, Islam, subhanAllah, Islam is a wonderful, genius ideology. You see, nowadays in the United States, I watched a program about 3-4 nights, and they were talking about prisons and how many facilities they're building every year, thousands, and there's still people in Bora, they're waiting for their rule to build up. And they make a survey, about 20% extra they give the guards in prison, more than they give the teachers that teach the children, you know. And the one guy from the prison was commenting that, we said, we don't do anything as a preventive measure. What we do is just building more facilities. And they go out, they recruit more people doing crimes, and they don't know. But the genius of Islam, to look at the Islam and compare it with other ideologies to see the superiority of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam came to prevent the problems before it happened. It's corrective and preventive at the same time. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever killed got killed, each chop his head off, this is not, Allah is the most merciful, ya akhwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah ﷺ was telling the companions that imagine that there was a woman in one of the battles, and this woman got a prisoner, become a prisoner of war, and she lost her baby, her child, baby, and she keep looking for him like an insane, looking everywhere, and when she saw the baby, she just hugged the baby to her chest and start crying. And the Rasulullah ﷺ is teaching the Sahaba, look at this woman. أَتَرُوا أَنَّهَا طَارِحَةً إِبْنَهَا فِي النَّارِ Do you think that this woman that love and crying and hold her child and caring about him, looking like insane, you think that she will throw this child in hell? Said no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful, is way merciful than this woman with her baby. And Allah is the most merciful, is saying, chop his head off. Whoever kill in Islam, cut his head off. Why? To prevent, to make, this is the blood of a Muslim is sacred. The bait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's completely destroyed and damaged, the Kaaba, the most holy site for Muslims, it's not equal one drop of a blood of a believer. This is the rules of Allah. But the rules of humans nowadays, this is the cheapest blood in the world to just. So this is the sacred. So when you get killed, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah said in the Quran, you, the one, the أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ means the intelligent ones. Allah talking to those that they look behind the stuff, not those, the dumb ones that they look, oh, you killing, no human rights. What is that? This is the superior human rights. Because when the killer is getting killed, nobody else will think about killing anybody else at all. Killing doesn't come as an option. Because you know, Allah said in the Quran, and even by your laws, if you knew that you kill, they're going to cut your head off, then you don't think about killing. Why? Protecting yourself, not the other persons or the society around you. And then you see Islam, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You, the intelligent ones, you have a life in committing the law of Allah, of killing whoever killed. How? Protecting the whole society. Because this person, when he kills, they bring him in the middle of a square and cut his head off, then everybody will take, oh, everybody looking, oh, this man killed Islam. No, you don't play. You just killed a human being, you get killed, you get chopped off. And the ulama said, when you kill, the crime of killing in Islam, you committing or you violating the rights of four. The first thing is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah created this soul, and you know, you come and kill that soul. Allah created this human being you killed. The first one is Allah. The second one is the person you killed. What did he do? We're talking about killing without a just cause, you know. We're not talking about killing if you, for example, somebody killed somebody and you kill him. He said, why you kill him? No, without a just cause. And then the third one you committed is the inheritance, the warasa, the sons, the daughters, the family, the wife that you kept her husband and finished his life. And the fourth one is the wali al-amr, the governor of that city. Because when you kill, you make the amn, the safety of people is not the right way. Every with killing starts to spread away, the governor has no control and he's not doing his job. They said, the ulama, the first one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by repentance to Allah from killing. So if Allah accepts your repentance, this is alright. The second one is the person that you killed. Even if they apply the law for you in this dunya, this person is not gonna, he's gonna come in the hereafter grabbing you from your neck, and his head is gonna be in his hand, and he's gonna talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَلْ هَذَا لِمَا قَتَلَنِي. Ask that one why he's talking to Allah. Why did he kill me? Okay, fine. Tell yourself, why did you kill him? You're going to be in front of Allah. You can't lie, because you can't bring a lawyer, a smart lawyer, pay millions and billions of dollars and say, oh, with this and that and change. You know, Allah saw everything. Allah knows everything. You can't just play around. The third one are the inheritance, the people, the sons, the daughters, the brothers, the mother, the wife, the children that you killed, their father or whoever you killed. And those, their right fall down by three. You see, Islam also gives the family of the victim the right to choose. This is the law of Islam. Either do the qasas, or killing whoever killed, or you pay the diyah. 100, the price of 100 camel, or you free him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your choice. The judge bring the victim of the family victim, and tell them choose. You see, feel when you feel that you're cured, because whatever happened to this person, but you see the secularism law, no, he doesn't have anything. They just go and follow the rules, 5 years in jail. And the family are dying from inside, and they feel this is no justice, this is no... But in Islam, you say, choose. This is the inheritance. The people are in charge. Choose. This is the qisas. Either kill him the same way, bring him in a square and cut his head off, or you take the diyah, the price of 100 camel, or you free him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the greatness of Islam. So when you commit, that's why Islam makes, you know, killing a human is like killing all mankind. من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. For that, we wrote down for the children of Israel that whoever killed a human without a human, without a just cause, you kill a human, you kill a human in front of him, but no cause for that, then it's the same way like killing all mankind. All mankind. This is why Islam, this is why the Muslim, the countries that apply Islam the right way, no killing at all, free of killing. Because killing doesn't come as an option. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Look, destruction after destruction. After, one of them is enough for him. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا, whoever did kill a believer, مُتَعَمِّدًا, intentionally, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ, his final, his final destination is hellfire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا, eternally he'll be there. Look, one after one, جهنم, خالد. وغضب الله عليه, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has anger on him. ولعنه, and he cursed him, he's out of the mercy of Allah. You see, shaitan disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah put his curse on the devil. And that means he's out of the mercy of Allah, the devil. ولعنه وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, he had prepared a great destructive punishment for him. Five, جهنم, and he's eternally in جهنم, and Allah has anger on him, and Allah has a curse on him, and he, Allah prepared for him. This is just killing. One of those is enough, you know. But look, repetition, one after one after one after one. You see, there is no ideology nowadays that could prevent the happening of killing like Islam. And you see, in the Muslim countries, the majority of people applying the rules of Islam never ever think about committing a crime, because you destroy yourself in dunya and in the hereafter. Punishment, jahannam, khalidan fiha, and the curse of Allah and the anger of Allah, and prepare a severe punishment for him in the hereafter. So killing is one of the destructive sins. The fourth one is أكل الربا, usury. And we come to this problem, usury. Islamic countries, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the humiliation in the Jews when they use or deal with usury with people and with each other, and humiliate them. And the Muslims fell down in the same ditch. Oh, subhanallah. Everyone is, talk about anyone, and then I said, no, brother, this is darura. Darura, you become a scholar now, darura. Darura, no, the scholar only knows the darura. And the best out of the best knows the darura, but not you. When they tell you, you go to the hospital until you get cancer and you need to take it out, you need to cut your leg off before it spreads to the whole body and kill you, then you don't say, oh no, just try to save or this. You can't say anything. You just keep shut, you know, and then you just follow whatever they tell you. But when it comes to Islam, then the fabrication, and everyone is a scholar. No, this is usury. Usury is the destruction. فَلْيَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ يَا أَخْوَانِ, they are threatened by a war from Allah and His Messenger. We didn't see any sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you declare the war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger except this usury. And the usury is not like you got money and you lend people and you take it more. No. Rasulullah in the authentic hadith, Muslim, he explained what's usury, what's riba. They call it arbah nowadays. Riba. What is riba? Riba, يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الله الربا آكله وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه. Five are cursed. Curse, don't take it easy. Curse from Allah means out of the mercy of Allah. The same way like the devil. Devil is out of the mercy of Allah. It's cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لعن الله آكله. Allah has cursed whoever takes the money, you know, like the bank nowadays, it's cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمُوكِلَ, the one that takes the money, lends the money from the bank. So he doesn't do anything, he's the one that's the victim, but he's cursed. Because Allah said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Gather, cooperate on the righteousness, on obeying Allah, not in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلُهُ, the one that lend people money, the one that borrow the money, and the one that write down the deed, and the two witnesses, they witness that story, all of them are cursed. You say usury, destruction, ya ikhwan. Usury, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dirham mina riba أكبر عند الله من ست وثلاثين ذنيا. One dirham. Dirham is not even a cent. Less, something less than one cent from usury is greater than 36 committing adultery in Islam. Something destructive. That's why it is destructive. That's why you need to clear yourself out of this. You need to pull yourself out of this. Don't enjoy. Don't say, oh, and start to talk. This life is not our final destination. Muslims, believers, this is the place of cultivating for the hereafter. This is the place of fitna. This is the place of trial. This is not the reward place. Otherwise, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم couldn't just put two stones in his stomach from hunger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will make the whole universe gone for him if this is a place of reward. But no, this is a place of test. You've been tested. We're under trial. Allah will go, this is usury, and this is buying and selling, halal. You buy the goods, you sell the goods, okay. This is haram, usury. You use people, you interfere, you put your money also in the bank, what is it called? What kind of account? Checking account? Saving account? This is usury. You don't tell me I'm smart, I'm going to collect the money and I'm going to donate it. Allah طيب لا يقبل إلا طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good and he doesn't accept but the good. You don't get this is the dirty money. This is unfair money. Allah will punish you on that money. You didn't do anything. The money is there and you just accumulated 1% or 2% and you go to hell for the 1% or 2%. Be clear, this life is not a place of reward. This is a place of test, and this is one of the tests, using usury. And usury is destructive, completely destructive. It destroys your other sins. And Allah, Rasulullah ﷺ described us dealing with usury in the grave. The punishment starts at the grave too. They swimming in pools and seas of blood, and they want to go to the side of that place they're swimming at, and the angels bring big huge stones and hit them on the face. They run away, they go to the other side, the angels until the end of the time. The person used with usury. So be careful, brothers. There's a lot of ways in Islam that you could live in an apartment, live where you are, live and save if you want to live in the house, but don't enjoy, you know, what's haram, what's gonna pull you to the hellfire. Don't think, because even if you talk about it money wise, if you talk about you buy something equal $100,000 here using usury or using bank, the first thing is the destruction and the war. You declare a war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that created you and give you everything and his messenger. And in the hereafter, they give you your weapon and said, go and fight Allah. Because in dunya, and look, you're going to fight Allah. You're a human being. A virus, you can see, kill you right away. You know, you're going to fight Allah. Look at it. Imagine. SubhanAllah. But you need to be very careful. And the Muslims actually should get and gather and make a Muslim bank that work, because there is in Islam, there is an economy in Islam. Al-Mudarabat al-Islamiyya, when the bank, Muslims, if the Muslims in the United States or a Muslim in a community gather and put their money in the bank, and they call it the Muslim bank, and this bank starts dealing in an Islamic way. Bank go and build something, and you go 50-50. Whatever the bank make, you take 50%. Whatever the bank lose, you lose 50%. Whatever. You make a deal with the banks, it will work. And it was working great, wonderful. But they replace it with what? They give you 1%, then go to hellfire with the 1% too. Or the 2%, hellfire. No, don't put your money. If you're capable of putting that money somewhere where it's safe, you are. If you're not capable, then you just put it in a checking account, small amounts to make your life a little easier, or to make, you can transact on that country. But no, saving account, haram, usury, you declare the war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger. Destruction, one of the destructive sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, subhanallah, the money, you fight Him with the money. No, just pull out. If you are into anything regarding the usury, pull out of it and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace whatever you lift, because the fear of Allah will replace it the halal way. No way, the halal way. You'll find the halal way. Allah will, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you believe that every tiny little thing in that universe is by the will of Allah, then you agree in that. If you don't believe, this is your problem there. Okay, usury, very dangerous, very dangerous. Everyone should be very careful, here, especially here, you know. Everything is built on usury. The other one, this is number what? Five, أَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ. You know, taking the money of the orphan. You see, this is the genius of Islam too. This religion. Why? Because you're not an orphan, you're an adult, nobody could touch your money. Nobody could touch your property, you know, the law, you got power, you got lawyers, you got ways, you can, nobody could just, but who's the one that could be violated? The orphan. Because the orphan of a human is the child that his father died before the age of puberty. This is the orphan. This is a weak boy, doesn't know anything, or a girl, doesn't know anything. So anybody could violate their rights. Then the genius of Islam came and said, no, this is one of the destructive sins. This is one of the sins that destroys you completely, to touch the money of the orphans. This is the absolute genius, ikhwan, of Islam. Because haram, it's haram to take your brother money. But it's more and more and way higher haram to take the money of the orphan. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Those, Allah said in the Quran, that they take the money of the orphans without a just cause. ظُلْم, unfair. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ, they eat in their stomachs, nar, hell in their stomachs, وَسَأَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, and they will severely punish in the sa'ir, one of the decrees of the hellfire. So very careful, the money of the orphans. And then you move, the other one, التَّوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ, running away in the battlefield of jihad. Oh, you start jihad, no running away. You run away to support another group, yes. But you run away, to run away from the disbelievers? No. No, this is one of the most destructive sins too. Is to run away, because in Islam, you're a winner anyway. Once you get into the battlefield, in jihad field, either the victory, nasr, or shahada, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahada or nasr, both ways you're a winner. But they are the losers. They are the ones that are supposed to run away, running from death. But you're not. If you did victory, great, alhamdulillah. If you die, shahada, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one is qazful muhsanat al-ghafilat. You know, throwing stones, shameful sins for those protected women. Allah, why? He emphasized because it's most commonly. But also a man, if you say this man is such, this man is adulterous. In Islam, you see any law, any ideology, this is the genius, superiority of Islam, of Islamic law, of Islam. Any law cannot punish you in the world. If you say anything, they can't, they don't know how to do that. They don't know. But Islam, if you insult somebody and you tell him, you son of something, they bring you. Come on. Did you see Islam and this and that? He said, yes. He said, where is your witness? He said, I don't have any. He said, come on. Hadd al-qasas. Slap you in your back. 80. Because Allah, ard in Islam and owner is highly protected in Islam. He can't even insult a Muslim. Rasulullah described him, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The definition of a Muslim in Islam by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the people or Muslimin are safe from his tongue first and his hand second. His tongue, that means a tongue that people don't care about, is more harmful. That Rasulullah said, the tongue and the hand. More harmful sometimes, or a lot of times, than the hand. مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. So you insult, you throw shameful sins for a sister, protected, unaware of it. One of the great destructive sins. And you punished if you don't have no witness what you're saying, because you're a liar when you say that. You just throw a man or a woman, you say, oh, a man, he's adulterous, he's such. No, this is the qazf. And you get slapped 80 in your back and you are not a witness. You can't be used as a witness in the Islamic court. So you see, brothers, those are the sevens. Think about them and enumerate them. And inshallah, keep yourself and your family and your friends away from those. Those are destructive sins. The authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اجتنبوا السبع المبقات. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير.